This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Our voice, preserving our stories. Join Caroline Vogels and Jess Moorhee for an insight into the lives of our community elders. Joy 94.9 gratefully acknowledges the support of the Victorian Government and Public Record Office Victoria for making this project possible.
Dr. Catherine Barrett is the Community Liaison Officer and Research Fellow at the Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society at La Trobe University. Catherine grew up in Ballarat during the 60s and 70s as part of a big family, valuing difference and having a sense that all people matter, including regional people. Catherine's convent schooling helped form her creative side, and later Melbourne University stimulated her love of learning, especially as she could then hang out with all those funky students. Catherine's early career working as a nurse in residential aged care enhanced her passion for working with the elderly, especially in the area of sexual health. And since those formative years, Catherine has completed a PhD and moved into academia, where, with the assistance of La Trobe University and many community organisations, she has done some groundbreaking work, such as writing peer-reviewed publications in the area of sexual health and older Australians. In 2008, Catherine authored My People, commissioned by Matrix Guild Victoria and Vintage Men, which explored the experiences of GLBTI seniors in aged care services. The Director of Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria, Associate Professor Anne Mitchell, commended the report, calling it pioneering research. Currently, Catherine has a number of research projects on the go, such as the primary prevention of sexual assault in older women and sexuality after a stroke. My co-host this is Jess Moorhee, and I warmly welcome Dr. Catherine Barrett to Our Voice.
Thank you for the invitation.
What an introduction. I think, judging by the length of that, it's clear to say that you were quite a remarkable lady with quite a substantial contribution to the community.
Thanks, Jess. I'm actually just following my passion. So, you know, this is where it's led me. And I am doing extraordinary work, but I don't think that's because I'm extraordinary. I think I am working in a very interesting field with extraordinarily interesting people.
Mm. Yeah, it certainly helps. And I think my trouble was trying to actually encompass all what you've done. But that's what we'll be talking about over the coming hour, is some of the exciting projects you're working on. But what we'd like to do is just go back a little bit. And you grew up in Ballarat, and you were at a convent school, and that helped with your creativity?
I think it did, actually. I've read a book in the last 10 years called There's Something About a Convent Girl, and I was quite fascinated with the title. And they were it was written by a collection of women who were high achievers. Mm. And they talked about how, you know, the theatre of a convent education kind of stimulated them in different ways. And when I look back at, you know, going to convent school, you know, there was much about it that was kind of constraining. Mm. But I think there was a lot about it that was high theatre as well too. You know, I remember Mass and the, you know, it was an absolute performance.
That's an interesting way to describe it, isn't it? Because we hear so many negative things about convent upbringing. It's nice to hear some positive stories.
Well, there were many things about it that weren't positive. And, you know, in many ways I felt constrained and that constraint kind of stayed with me for quite some time. And then I think what I chose to do with that was to become much more creative than I might have, a kind of creative rebellion, I guess, if you like.
Oh, fantastic. And then that led you into a university, 1970s, 1980s sort of campus life?
I did. And then PhD in the, you know, 2000 to 2006.
Oh, okay, what was that on?
That was looking at person-centred care, what it takes to engage health professionals in improving the quality of care so that it's person-centred, so that it's about what the client wants, not what the service provider wants for the client.
Okay, so a bit of a swing than what we normally look at, looking at it from the other way.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's kind of provided a really useful foundation for the work that I'm doing around sexual health and older people.
Was this journey predetermined? Did you know growing up that this you wanted to go into this sort of line of work?
Well, in some ways I did. The young doctors in the 1970s in country Victoria, everyone was watching young doctors and I just thought they just looked so sensational in their white uniforms. And I thought, yes, I want to be a nurse, you know, the kind of healing profession. And yes, yeah, it was a significant driver. And, you know, growing up Catholic in a regional town, you became either a nurse or a teacher. So nursing for me.
Sounds good. So you've brought a song along. And it's from Anthony and the Johnsons, Thank You for Your Love. Would you like to tell us a bit about that?
My work with older GLBTI people, there's a couple of things that have come up for me, and one of them was the importance of love in the lives of older GLBTI people, and particularly the people I've interviewed who've been in residential aged care who have felt that they have been isolated from the GLBTI community. And one older gay man who was HIV positive I met, who when I met him was singing All of Me, Why Not Take All of Me, I'm Nothing Without You. And that sense that because he was HIV positive, he felt that he'd been ostracised from a group of people. Because he was gay, he'd been ostracised from another lot. And he was saying, without love, I am nothing. Mm. And I think we have such power to reach out and look after our older GLBTI people. So, and Anthony and the Johnsons, they have the most exquisite voices. I think Anthony does so.
Let's have a listen.
Our community, our stories, our voice. Joy 94.9.
Hi, you're on Joy 94.9 and you're listening to the wonderful Caroline and the gorgeous Jess on Our Voice. So stay tuned.
You are listening to Our Voice with Jess, Caroline and special guest, Dr. Catherine Barrett from the Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society from La Trobe University. So, Catherine, off air, you mentioned that you've been just awarded a very significant grant that's very exciting for you. Would you like to share with the listener what that's about?
We have. So I do work for ARCHES, the Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society, but particularly for an organisation called Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria, which does research education around the needs of GLBTI people. And we've just been awarded a small grant from Beyond Blue to look at older GLBTI people's experiences of discrimination and the impact that that has had on anxiety and depression. So this is terrific in so many respects. And I guess first and foremost is that we really need to understand older GLBTI people's experiences of anxiety and depression and, you know, how they've coped and what they need from services. And then I think secondly, that this project has been supported by Beyond Blue is particularly impressive because they are the peak body for the mental health of Australians. So we're particularly proud to have been given that funding.
And what will your role be in that project?
So I will be the chief investigator, and so it's interviewing a very small number of older LGBTI people, about 10, mm-hmm. In here and Western Australia to, you know, document their experiences, but then also to get some feedback from them about what they think Beyond Blue could do as part of their community. Beyond Blue has a community awareness campaign to reduce discrimination and to change community attitudes. And so what we are, this project will inform Beyond Blue's community awareness campaign. So this is terrific. This is about the voices of older LGBTI people being heard nationally.
Can you talk us through the process of actually finding these people to interview? I don't imagine it's something that they're really going to be putting up their hands to speak.
It's a really good question, Jess. And you think about the experiences of older LGBTI people that over their lives, you know, broadly speaking, they have been invisible, they have been ignored. And, you know, for a lot of older LGBTI people, their historical experiences at an early age, you know, if you told someone that you were gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender, you know, you could be given shock therapy, you could be imprisoned, you know, you could be given a lobotomy, you could lose your job, you could lose your family. And so this is a group of people, many of whom who have hidden and then have felt they have been ignored. So for us then to, you know, put our hands up and say, and now we'd like, you know, to document your experiences, my experience with the My People project was that it was extraordinarily difficult to build, to have older LGBTI people understand that we were motivated by good intent. So there was a level of suspicion. Mm. And what I felt I had to do as a researcher was work really, really hard, the hardest I've worked on any project to recruit participants. And that took, you know, well over 6 months. But it was about building trust. Mm. And I hope and I expect that what I have done over the last 4 years is shown to older LGBTI people and the LGBTI community that the work that we do at Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria and the work I've done for Matrix Guild and Vintage Men is very much motivated by good intent and motivated by making visible the voices of older LGBTI people. So hoping that that will be the bit that makes the difference.
So before we talk about your project, My People, just to sort of zone in on what Jess asked, how would you actually, though, identify a person and then communicate with them? Because just in our experience with our voice, we've got all these great ideas of who we'd like to interview, but it's a matter of, you know, sometimes privacy issues, trying to find contact numbers, how to contact them. As you say, they're invisible. What would be when you go to work on Monday and you first had your first job of trying to contact them, how would you go about that?
I think it's word of mouth. So mm-hmm. it's about making contact with people where there is already a trusting relationship. So I feel that I have a good relationship with Matrix Guild, the group mm-hmm. for older lesbians, Vintage Men, the group for older gay and bisexual men and transgender Victoria. Mm-hmm. And so what I would do is make contact with each of those organisations and say, this is what I'm doing, this is why it's important. I'd offer to go and speak with the groups individually. So it's that kind of personal, face-to-face, yeah. And trying to really communicate to people the message that you know, I have great respect for the needs and the stories of older LGBTI people. So that's the thing that seems to work better than, you know, maybe an ad in the paper.
And we spoke about My People, the report, which was the, you know, showed the landscape of social health of GLBTI seniors, and it was a significant and, as Professor Anne Mitchell said, a like groundbreaking, pioneering report. So tell us about some of the people that you interviewed for that.
Yeah, it really is quite an extraordinary report. So that was conducted in 2007. It was funded by Rutstein Foundation. It was a collaboration between Matrix Guild and Vintage Men. And I would
just to interrupt, so Rutstein Foundation, they are
philanthropic organisation yep. that particularly fund projects around social marginalisation okay. and strengthening communities. Yep. And the project was particularly interviewing older LGBTI people about their experiences of aged care. And I think what was really particularly exciting about that project was 25 interviews with older LGBTI people, the most extraordinary lives, extraordinary stories. And it documented the voices of older GLBTI people in relation to aged care in Australia for the first time ever. Mm-hmm. And if you read that report, if you, you know, Google My People and have a look at that report, there are a couple of case studies in the middle, and they are the most wonderful, alive, rich stories. And for me, as a researcher, I think we were talking earlier, you know, I had not been out for very long before I went into interviewing, particularly older lesbians, about what it was like, their historical experiences and what and how they lived their lives and interacted with service providers. And I was so inspired by their stories. And, you know, I think I remember one older lesbian saying to me that, you know, that a health service provider asked her if she was a lesbian, and she said, "Yes, of course I am. Have you got a problem with that?" And she said that I communicate, that she cues other people by the way she communicates her comfort with her own sexuality. And she said, "It's just a fact about me. Like, I've lost a lot of weight recently and my hair's going grey." Yeah. Mm. And I remember listening to her, and as a researcher, but also as a woman, listening and thinking, "My goodness, you are such an inspiring woman." So they were really quite remarkable older people.
And obviously had a profound effect on you personally.
They did, they did. And, you know, not everybody responded in that way to their life experiences. There were a number of older people who had been quite shattered, I guess, if you like, by their historical experiences. Mm. And I think what My People did was gave voice to a whole range of responses to historical experiences of discrimination. And really highlighted that as service providers really need to understand the life experiences of this group of people and then respond in appropriate ways. Mm.
So how do you think currently or maybe previously the aged care services are lacking in their ability to cater to the GLBTI community? Where have we been and where do you think we're going?
Well, I think where we've been is that we've not considered older people to be sexual, and that's a really important starting point when you're talking about older GLBTI people. I share offices with people who do training around young GLBTI people, and they never need to start with education around, now let's talk about the fact that young people are sexual. Mm. You know, that's never the starting point. There's always an assumption that young people are sexual. But when you're doing work around older GLBTI people, you've got to start by saying, we as a community have not expected older people to be sexual. And we've not expected them to be sex and gender diverse or have diversity of sexuality and gender. And that's the starting point. And, you know, I have a view that that we ought not to hit aged care services over the head for that. You know, they're responding the same way service providers are. The work I do is around education and resource development is saying, let's start by giving people education around sexuality and affirmative responses to sexuality to start with, and then let's talk about diversity.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's, but this, I mean, it's changed enormously in the last 5 years, and of course we've had changes to legislation on the 1st of July.
Mm-hmm. What's that about? What's the changes there?
Mark Butler, who's the Minister for Ageing and Mental Health, has made a change to the Aged Care Act in response to the Productivity Commission report into caring for older Australians. The change to the Aged Care Act is recognition of older GLBTI people as a special needs group. So what that means now, for the first time ever, we are recognising that this is a group of older people who have had particular experiences and have particular needs. And so there are a whole heap of changes that will roll out as a result of that, including a national strategic plan around older GLBTI people, some funding for education, and I think recognition will be the big one.
Fantastic. And that must be based on some of the work that you have done along with Matrix Guild and Vintage Men and Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria. It must be really encouraging to know that you can have input like that actually leads to a response, a positive response, and see change, positive change.
Absolutely, Carolyn. And, you know, Jess's question before about, you know, how do we recruit older GLBTI people, you know, to this next study is we make that connection. We say, look what happened with My People. Mm. We developed a submission for the Productivity Commission into caring for older Australians. Older GLBTI people as a result of that are now, as a result of the Productivity Commission inquiry are now recognised as a special needs group. Well, Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria or Matrix Guild have not done that on their own, but we contributed to that.
Yep.
And the stories of older people were a really important part of that.
So just in case you've tuned in, you're listening to Dr. Catherine Barrett from the Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society, La Trobe University. And Catherine has been telling us in detail about some of the work she's done with other organisations and the reports that she's authored about GLBTI and sexuality and aged care. And I guess talking about some things that I can't remember hearing about on the radio for quite some time. So it's lovely that you're spending this time with us to share in something that I think we can all learn from and individually try and, you know, be a bit more mindful of it as well. And there's another track that you've brought along. Tell us about that, why you've brought that one.
So this Boots by Nancy Sinatra is for Nancy, the trans woman whose story is told in My People. She was a most extraordinary woman. She was a sailor in World War II and then, you know, left the Navy and became a dancer with Lay Girls. I don't know another older person who's had such an extraordinary history. So this one's for her.
Very unique.
Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy 94.9. You're with Caroline, Jess, and our special guest is Dr. Catherine Barrett. And we've been talking, Catherine, that you are part of Arches, but there's a connection with Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria. So perhaps you could just tell us about that. But before we go there, I just have to say, Nancy Sinatra, she doesn't date, does she?
she's fabulous.
Yeah.
She's fabulous. So I guess today the perspective I'm coming from predominantly is Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria. Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria is part of the Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society at La Trobe University. So they're all part of the one organisation, but I guess listeners may recognise Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria.
Sure.
Perhaps more so than Arches.
Okay, thanks for clarifying that in my own mind.
So speaking of which, there was a project undertaken by the Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria and the Also Foundation, Val's Cafe.
Yes. I set up Val's Cafe, I think, in about 2009 after hearing the remarkable story of Val Eastwood. She must be one of the most extraordinary lesbians there has been. So Val was in the 1950s at a time when people could be locked up or given shock therapy for being known as being queer. She set up a cafe for, you know, camp and theatre types to sort of come together and have a place of welcome. And she was an extraordinary woman. She had an Italian tailor make her men's suits. She wore a Homburg hat, carried a cane and would walk down the street in the 1950s very proudly and say she wouldn't give anyone eye contact because if she had, she knows that she would have copped it. So she was an extraordinary woman. And there are many anecdotes about Val's Cafe, people coming to Val's Cafe going, oh, my God, I thought I was the only one in the world. And, you know, walked into the cafe, I should say coffee lounge, actually, walked into the coffee lounge and felt that there was a place where they could be themselves. I was quite inspired by that concept of the coffee lounge and the principles of hospitality and welcome. And I thought that was really an important message to take to aged care services because people of Val's generation, Gen V, will now be, you know, many of them receiving aged care services. So Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria set up Val's Cafe, you know, six get-togethers a year for people delivering services to older GLBTI people, to resource them, to provide them with information and support. I think when we started, I probably coaxed about 20 people I knew to join.
Yes.
And, you know, perhaps they were reluctant, maybe they weren't. We now have 130 organisations that are members.
Fantastic. Yeah.
And in the last year, with changes in HAC services, in home and community care, where the legislation's changed, they need to recognise older GLBTI people, the membership has gone up by another 50 organisations. Mm. So there's just this real groundswell. And I guess the Val's Cafe concept is about remembering the historical experiences of Gen V and saying those principles of hospitality that Val Eastwood gave us, we want to replicate and show service providers how they can do that with they're older GLBTI people.
I think too, for the staff and carers that this is sort of aimed towards, there must be such great rewards and benefits to be able to work with the older people of our community, to hear their stories, to appreciate where they've come from and in a way how they've paved a way for the lives that we have today. But there must also be so much that they take home with them, and to be able to meet with people who have that same understanding and to debrief and to have that commonality, I guess, must be really important.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I think that notion of peer support, that a number of people who come to Val's Cafe meet people doing similar work and will ring each other or say, I've got a resource or a policy or we've got a seminar, will you come and speak? And so it's not just about me doing to service providers. It's about Val's Cafe supporting this group of people to help each other and resource each other.
Yeah, so, networking. Yeah.
It sounds like Val's Coffee Lounge, you know, ended up opening in a number of locations, almost like franchising. It sounds like Val's Cafe is at a time where it could certainly spread its wings wider across Australia as well and be replicated in other states. Is that something on your agenda in your spare time? Or
No, not at this point. It isn't something that we've considered. I think one of the things that we are now considering is really how we support rural and regional Victorians. And one of the things that I've discussed with some members of Val's Cafe in the last week is that they would like to set up a network of inclusive services, if you like, start to really network in a much more formal way. So, and, you know, maybe start to profile themselves as providing aged care services that are inclusive. So that's something that we're really going to be fostering. And I think what we need, because Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria is a Victorian state-based funded organisation, what we really need to do is to make sure that we've really got Victorians supported. And if that's a model that other states and territories find inspiring and would like to replicate, happy to talk to them.
Yeah, fantastic. So that probably dovetails into the national standards that you're working on of the Rainbow Tick. And I think it's a fantastic name because, to me, not knowing much about it, but it all of a sudden means if it's got the five ticks, it must be pretty good. And I presume that's what aged care is trying to work towards, is being, certified to a certain standard.
Yeah, look, the Rainbow Tick is broad as it possibly can be, which is the good news. Mm-hmm. The Rainbow Tick is around a framework, a set of standards for all health and human services across Australia. And we've been working with QIXA, who's a quality organisation, fabulous partnership. We've had from them a small amount of funding from the Department of Health, and we've developed up the standards. We've been through so many cycles of consultation and, you know, are they practical, you know, implementing them. And the stage we are at now is we have a set of standards. We have an audit tool for organisations. We have now almost completed the pilot. So there are four organisations that participated in a pilot. And for the first time, we have an accreditation organisation which will come in and assess the extent to which an organisation is meeting the standards. And if they are assessed as meeting the standards, they can then get a rainbow tick. So I guess it's a real shift for us. For the first time, I think, nationally, in the past, any organisation could stick a flag on their door and go, yeah, we're, GLBTI friendly. But what does that mean?
Yeah.
But with the rainbow tick, what we've got is a set of standards, a set of indicators. We've got an accreditation body that can come in and conduct an assessment against the standard. So the benchmark just got a lot higher.
Yeah. Is there a cost in that for the organisation to apply for the tick?
Yeah, the accreditation agency have a cost. And so, but anybody can pick up the standards and the indicators and work towards achieving them. But the good news for GLBTI people is that, you know, there's this groundswell now. There is such an interest in this. And I think in the information I gave you, there was an outline of a program that we coordinated Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria called How to Create a GLBTI Inclusive Service.
Yep, yep.
And it's a 12-month program coaching organisations through the practical steps involved in becoming more inclusive, using the same set of standards. Mm. Now, I coordinate that program. It's the third year we've done it. There's a fabulous report on the program last year where seven of the organisations that participated wrote a chapter about the work they did in their organisation.
Oh, great. So it personalises it.
Yep. Yeah. And it just raises that that benchmark a little bit higher. The report is called Beyond We Treat Everyone the Same. And there's a mantra in health and human services. We do that already. We treat everyone the same. Well, we're saying GLBTI people are not the same and it's not appropriate to treat them the same. And look, we've got this set of standards. We've got an accreditation process. Things are changing.
Yeah, sounds like the uptake is really quite positive and it's a huge rolling, fast rolling ball, which is excellent.
Yeah,
so if it gets momentum, it'll make it easier. And
it will, it will. And what we've now got is aged care service providers saying, a number of them, in fact, I think in the current intake in the How To program, there are 10 organisations, five of them are HAC-funded services, providing services to older GLBTI people. I'm just so proud of that. Yeah. I think it's so fantastic. So the next report on the How To program, 50% of the organisations writing for that report are talking about services to older GLBTI people. And they are the same group of people who are saying, we want to set up a kind of an inclusive services network so we can help older GLBTI people identify services that are inclusive. And what we're saying to our peers too is, here's where the benchmark is.
Yep.
This is the fab work we're doing, you know, come on board.
And can I just ask, is the experience similar for a lesbian, a gay person or a transgender person? Are the stories similar or are they the way they're being treated, or is there, a group that has a little bit better?
Yeah, no, they're not the same. No. You know, it's interesting. We have standards for GLBTI inclusion. We have the rainbow tick standards. And one of the things we then, when people get their heads around the standards, one of the things we say to them is you need to understand that gay men are not the same as lesbians, not the same as trans people, and all gay men are not the same. And I think trans people have a more difficult time. One of the things that I've had a lot of people say to me is, for same-sex attracted people, for gay men, lesbians and bisexual people, when they feel that they are not safe, sometimes what they do is hide their sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happening in residential aged care. Some people are choosing, same-sex attracted people are choosing to hide to be safe. And what's happening in home care is some older same-sex attracted people talk about de-gaying their house or straightening up their house before the home carer comes in so that they can. But you know, trans people, some older trans people can't do that because they don't actually pass. So it is more difficult for them. And it is also more difficult for older same-sex attracted people who have dementia because maintaining a closet takes a lot of cognitive function.
Yeah.
And what we've noticed is that, you know, some of the stories in my people, the work people do to maintain their closet is extraordinary. Mm. And sometimes when older people get dementia, that capacity is lost. So,
and that would be fairly difficult for the partners of those people with dementia as well, perhaps inadvertently being outed at a later age.
And being outed because you're in a relationship too. Like if you want to go in and hold your partner's hand.
We're just going to go to some messages. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to our voice on Joy 94.9 with Dr. Catherine Barrett from Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria.
Joy.
Joy 94.9.
Preserving the stories of our community elders. Joy 94.9.
You're on our voice on Joy 94.9 with Caroline and Jess, and our special guest today is Dr. Catherine Barrett from Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria. Catherine, we've asked you to bring in some goodies today. Could you tell us what you've brought and just what they mean to you?
I bought in a postcard that I bought on a website called Card Cow, and it's a postcard that was in a section called Lesbian Interest. And I thought, what on earth could that be? And it's this exquisitely beautiful postcard of two older women, perhaps from the 1940s, and they are just embracing, they're just giving each other a great big hug, looking at the camera and looking like a little overawed perhaps, but very much like they are enormously close to each other and finding great comfort in each other's arms. And that for me represents a lot of the stories of older women that I've experienced in relation to aged care, because often service providers will say to me, you know, there are two older women and we are providing them services. And, you know, I thought they might have been lesbians, but I wasn't really quite sure. Mm. And so this was in a section called Lesbian Interest. There is no indication that they are lesbians, but they are women who are very close and dedicated to each other.
What else have you got there?
Noel Tovey's book called Little Black Bastard. And I think Noel Tovey is probably one of the most extraordinary older gay men I've met. I find his energy incredibly beautiful. He is an articulate, creative, warm and gentle man. And I heard him speak at the Health Indifference Conference, and he gave the opening address, and he talked about, as an 18-year-old boy, being at a party where there were a lot of gay men. Police raided the party and he was arrested and incarcerated in Pentridge Prison for the abominable crime of buggery. And he said, and that was the first time that I tried to take my life.
Oh, wow.
And he has gone on to be an author, a playwright, and a beautiful spokesperson for older GLBTI people, and he is also an Indigenous man, so I find him extraordinarily inspiring.
And we might have time for one more.
In terms of memorabilia, I bought in an article on Marion Bill Edwards, who was a gender rebel, a person who was born in 1890 in Murchison in northern Victoria, and at the age of 18, Marion decided that life was too hard for women, and she wanted to live her life as a man and ran away from home and lived the rest of her life as a man until he went into residential aged care in the 1950s and was forced to live again as a woman. Mm. But I have this on my iPad because Bill Edwards has written an autobiography that is extraordinary, and I've been trying to get a copy of that. I would love to have been able to bring in that book, but I'll probably go into the library and see if I can photocopy it. But an extraordinary life and an extraordinary man.
Well, you've certainly given us some things to go away and look at, hasn't Catherine, Jess?
Absolutely. Mm. I just read some snippets of the Bill Edwards article that you had up, and just it did bring to mind Boys Don't Cry, the movie with Hilary Swank. But I've definitely written a little list of things that I'm going to go and look for.
And I think there's something that stories like Bill Edwards will do for me, and I think do for other people, is there is such a richness. And in the education work that I do, you can give service providers stats and it can shift something. Give them a story and it shifts the world.
It's so true.
People relate to another human being's story. Mm. It touches the heart, and then we can really talk about, you know, what we need to do differently in services. That's what I really, really love about this particular story. You know, the 18-year-old kid who left home in, you know, bloody 1890 and decided to live the rest of her life as a man. I think it's a remarkable story.
Very empowering.
It is. You're on Joy 94.9 with Jess and Caroline, and our guest is Dr. Catherine Barrett. And if you'd like to connect with Our Voice, go to joy.org.au and to the Our Voice program, and you can connect with our social media. And might be an opportunity, Catherine, just to mention your contact details if people are moved to give you a call, if they perhaps would have a story that they would like to share with you, or an organisation that may be listening that would like to get in touch with you. What's the best way for that?
If they get on the Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria website, so that's www.glhv.org.au, or search
Google.
Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria is the best way to do that.
Fantastic. We might talk about the future for you, what your plans are. Obviously, you've got, like so much on the go, there's umpteen reports. But where would you like to see Catherine Barrett heading in the next months to a year or so?
I'd like to see some recurrent funding for the work that we do. I mean, the work that I do at Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria is kind of hobbled together in bits of projects. 2 days a week I work around GLBTI ageing, and the other 2 days a week I work on a project looking at preventing the sexual assault of older women and sexuality after stroke.
I would so much like to talk about that. We won't have time today, but I'd love you to come in on another day and share that with us, because it's a really important area that, and here again, we just don't talk about it. And I know that I've heard that your statistics on sexual assault of older women, and it's just nauseating when you think, you know, our mums are out there in a risk area. So, but perhaps another time on that one.
But I think what I would really like to see happen is recurrent funding. So recognition that older GLBTI people, that this is an area of work that is so significant that we need recurrent funding. So I spend a lot of my time and energy trying to get funding. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think I could liberate 25% of my time if there was recurrent funding. So I would hope that there might be, that some of the changes happening at national level might mean that older people are recognised as youth are recognised and funded. You know, that would be my dream. And at the moment, many of the projects are around needs based. What I would really, really, really love to see us do is a project that looked at the voices of older GLBTI people without a specific agenda around health and wellbeing, that really were around visibility. Mm. So older GLBTI people's stories in their entirety. Mm. So many of the other projects have had, you know, there's been a particular part of a story that I have had a brief to go in for. But, you know, I would love to see a book of narratives that made older GLBTI people visible and celebrate their lives, not just the hardships, but celebrated much about older GLBTI people's lives that is good.
Mm. Yeah, I'd order a copy of that for sure.
Absolutely. So it might be a nice segue. We have a track coming up from Missy Higgins, and it's called Cooling the Embers, and it really does reflect on the hardship for the loved ones of people living with dementia. And it's probably just a timely song, just that it's not only the GLBTI community, but I think all people in aged care struggle. And hopefully we can start to break down some barriers as you've been doing, Catherine.
You are listening to Our Voice with Caroline Vogels and Jess Moorhee on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Our Voice on Joy 94.9 with Jess and Caroline, and our special guest from the Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria is Dr. Catherine Barrett. Catherine, thank you so much for the past almost an hour. We have some quick fire questions.
Why are you grimacing?
If you could invite three people to dinner, either living or past, who would they be?
Tony Abbott, George Powell and Anne Mitchell.
Oh, wow.
Anne Mitchell's the director of Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria.
Would there be fisticuffs?
There would be a robust discussion.
Oh, I love it. That's a really unique thing. And what would be one word you could use to describe your life?
Generous.
As if you don't have enough on your plate already, but if there was any job that you'd like to attempt for a day, what would it be?
Now the ex-Catholic of me is going, don't say it, don't say it. No, I'd like to be Cardinal Pell for the day. And I would do some different kind of guidance and leadership.
We would love that. And you said that you like being naughty, so this could be a bit difficult for you. But what's the most outrageous thing you have ever done?
That I can say on radio?
Yeah.
Well, there are some things that I probably could or shouldn't talk about. Probably going to a 5-star restaurant and licking my plate.
Oh, wow.
Because one of my friends told me not to.
What has been the best experience of your life?
Oh, jeepers, that's hard.
It is.
That's really, really hard. The best experience of my life? Probably most recently, I have learned a lot more about myself. I have learned a lot more about who I am, and I have learned to let go a pursuit of perfection that I feel is kind of imposed by society. I've learned to love myself in my entirety with all my imperfections. And that has been an extraordinarily liberating experience. And that has been the best experience of my life.
And that brings to a close the questions. So you're off the list. You don't have to keep jiggling. You can relax. And we would just like to say thank you so much to Dr. Catherine Barrett for joining us on Our Voice. Jess and I have found it such an informative, and we just feel that it's an overwhelming contribution that you've made to GLBTI aged care. And we just warmly thank you for sharing your story. And we hope to keep in touch with some of these great programs and reports and grants that you're currently working on, and talk to you a little bit in the future, and also about some of the other programs that you are working on that don't relate to GLBTI but still a huge impact on our community generally. So thank you, Dr. Catherine Barrett.
Mm. And can I thank you as well, or thank Joy as well too, because I think what you're doing is creating a space where GLBTI people, older GLBTI people, can become more visible. And I think that's such an important contribution. Joy has such a role in creating a culture in GLBTI Australia. And by giving voice to older people in the GLBTI community, I think what you're doing is really quite significant. So I want to thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks, Catherine.
You have been listening to Our Voice on Joy 94.9. For more information, head to joy.org.au to connect with Our Voice online.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.